Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show.
Hour number two of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. The Tennessee Titans, they're undefeated to start this football season. Crazy game yesterday. Boneheaded decision by Romeo Crennel to go for 2 points. Tennessee drives back down the football field. Led by Ryan Tannehill, led by Derrick Henry. They got the touchdown to tie things up, get it into overtime. And in overtime, Derrick Henry had the game-winning touchdown. And the Tennessee Titans, they're off to a 5-0 start 6 weeks into the season. And next week, we finally, hopefully, get that matchup between Tennessee and Pittsburgh, a battle of two 5-0 teams. Dave McGinnis is going to stop by. I always like when we get to talk to Coach. The former coach of the Cardinals also was a longtime assistant on the Tennessee Titans staff, now does the games on Titans radio. So we will chat about Tennessee's football team, the dominance of Derrick Henry, rushed for over 200 yards yesterday. Ryan Tannehill just continues to shine. And what a story Ryan Tannehill is, where Ryan Tannehill is a quarterback that was counted out, was going in to be the backup to Marcus Mariota. Mariota was continuing to be inconsistent, or you may even say consistently bad. Tannehill gets in early last year, takes the team to the playoffs. Him and Derrick Henry lead that team to an AFC championship game where they're up by 10. Up by 10 at halftime, or up by 10 in that game. They don't slam the door shut, and Mahomes and the Chiefs end up winning that football game. They go to the Super Bowl where they ended up coming back from down 10 again to the San Francisco 49ers. So Tennessee, do you consider them a Super Bowl contender? And last week I probably would have said, I don't know, Super Bowl a little bit early. But that team, they're in the conversation. If you look at the Super Bowl conversation teams in the AFC, you probably go Kansas City. You probably go Ravens, Steelers, and then you got to go Tennessee. Those are the four teams. No one else in the AFC West. No one else in the AFC South. No one else in the AFC North. And Buffalo, I think Buffalo is going to win the AFC East for the first time since 1995. I don't think the Bills are going to be a Super Bowl team. I just don't. So if I had to give you four teams to get to the Super Bowl in the AFC, KC, who I think is going back to the Super Bowl. But if it's not KC, you get into the conversation, and it's Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and Tennessee. So Dave McGinnis is going to join us in 15 to 20 minutes from now. Let me just update you before we chat a little college football. And I got to get into the Bama-Georgia game and also what Clemson did to Georgia Tech, which I think Clemson just scored another touchdown. It was wild. But this Kansas City-Buffalo game, if Buffalo goes on to lose this game, it's missed opportunities. They've dropped two interceptions. They punched out the football right before the end of the half, then missed the 52-yard field goal. And in the second half, they were down by three. It's still 13 to 10. They get the ball back, and Josh Allen wasn't able to do anything. Now Mahomes has the football. They're driving. They are at the Bills' 13-yard line. It's 4th and inches. They're going to go for it. They get it. Not only did they get it, Kansas City scores a touchdown. So right there, and it's Darrell Williams on the rushing touchdown. And I thought it was a bad spot, too. I thought Mahomes got the first down. They said he was an inch short. So in a snap of a finger, this goes from potentially being a tie game at halftime to now you're down by 10 points up against the Chiefs. If Buffalo doesn't answer back here with the touchdown, I don't want a field goal. I want a touchdown. You're not going to beat Kansas City if you're scoring field goals. If you don't answer back with the touchdown here, this one could get ugly. And it could get ugly quick. Because this is a quick move in third quarter. There's 1:18 left. Wow, this is very quick move in third quarter. And Buffalo takes, now they're down by 10. Kansas City takes a 10-point lead as the extra point by Bucker is good. So it's 20-10. That's how you describe this game. You miss a field goal. You then make a stop. You get the ball back. You do nothing. And then Kansas City moves the ball right down the field. On 4th and inches, you allowed a 14-yard touchdown run by Williams. And in a snap of a finger, you go from potentially being at halftime tied at 13 apiece to now being down by 10 points. If you want to beat Kansas City, you can't make mistakes. And we've even seen Kansas City not play their best version of football last year. They're down 24 to Houston in that divisional round game. They were down 10 to Tennessee, 10 to the 49ers with 7.5 in a Super Bowl, and they still found a way to get back. So when you have an opportunity to play at their level or even take a lead, you got to do it. And here's the thing with the Chiefs, and we said this in the last hour, we have not even seen the best of the Chiefs this year. We haven't. And that means the rest of the NFL should be nervous. Now, probably if you had a Super Bowl matchup right now, you want to see Kansas City go up against Seattle. That would be wonderful. And we got to see if the Seahawks defense could step up to the occasion and be like what the Chiefs defense was last year, which was not great throughout, but when they needed to be great, they found a way to be great. That Seattle offense, though, it's phenomenal. With a tremendous duo at wide receiver and DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, Russell Wilson, the MVP of the league right now, in my opinion. And if you could get all those names on Seattle going up against all these names for Kansas City with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you'll get Le'Veon Bell next week. You got Mecole Hardman. You got Sammy Watkins when he comes back. You got Tyreek Hill. You got Travis Kelce. That would be a great Super Bowl. That would be a high-scoring affair type of Super Bowl. It would be what football is all about in 2020. And the ratings would be astronomical. But just look at Kansas City this year. 34-20 over the Texans. 23-20 over the Chargers. They came back. They crushed the Ravens 34-20, but it felt like it should have been 60-20. They were very sloppy up against the Pats without Cam, and they won 26-10. They lose to the Raiders last week after blowing a double-digit lead. They lose 40-32. And then tonight, they haven't played great, but they just did go on a 13-play drive that got a touchdown that took off a little over 8 minutes off the clock. So now if you're Buffalo, you're down 10, and you got essentially a quarter left of football. A quarter left of football. If you don't score a touchdown here, because even if you make it a 7-point game, you know Kansas City's going to get the football back, and that offense is going to do what they do. And that's even going up against a really good defense in the Buffalo Bills. So you got to, if you're Josh Allen, you have to show me that you could go out there and go get a touchdown drive here. Because you had a chance on the last drive to go take the lead, and you couldn't get the job done. And these are the inconsistencies that you see with Josh Allen. He's 8-20 in this game tonight, 59 yards, a touchdown and a pick. And it wasn't that long ago where everyone was clamoring for him to be an MVP candidate. And I thought that was premature. Very premature. When we get to the MVP candidate, the third spot's going to rotate. Russell Wilson's one right now. Rodgers is two. And in that third spot, some weeks you're going to hear Josh Allen. Other weeks you're going to hear Patrick Mahomes. I'm sure eventually we'll hear Lamar Jackson. You know, maybe even I don't think he's an MVP, but you're hearing nationally a little love for Ryan Tannehill now. That third spot's going to continue to rotate. Ultimately, though, I think it's a two-team race, and I believe that the Seahawks are going to be the number one seed in the NFC, and Russell Wilson is going to be more impressive than Rodgers, and Russell win the MVP.
Ask you a question, Gil.
Yes, go ahead, Shep.
Okay, so this is your show. I'm going to give you a little pushback. You mind?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Mahomes is number one in overall QBR.
Yeah.
His team's 4-1.
Mm-hmm.
The only loss coming because the other team scored 40 points. So you can't point to Mahomes and say that's his fault.
No.
Mahomes is the perfect guy on the field.
Yes.
And he might even be better off the field. And you're telling me you have Aaron Rodgers, who, for my, Gil.
Sure.
You've been around, you've studied Aaron Rodgers for 15 years, he's been in the NFL. He has never, in my opinion, motivated his guys to want to go out and play 100%. Mahomes has that effect.
This year he is. Rodgers this year? Do you see who he's throwing the football to? He's getting the most out of that group. I know they didn't play well yesterday.
He was awful.
It's one game, though. Let's not get crazy. He was awful yesterday. After they took a 10-0 lead, he did that celebration and they couldn't do anything else. But let me just say this. I'm not saying Patrick Mahomes is not the best quarterback in football. There's a difference, most valuable, and who's the best. I've said it the last 2 years. When that dopey NFL 100 list comes out and Mahomes is not the number one quarterback and he's not the number one player in the league. To me, he's still the best player in the league. You know, though, that that's a standard. You're Mr. NBA. Aren't there years where LeBron James should win the MVP and he doesn't win the MVP? I'm not saying this
right.
Year. Giannis should have won the MVP this year. I thought that was the right call. I think Mahomes, even though he's still young in his career, coming off an MVP 2 years ago, I believe that when it gets close here, I just think that it's going to go to Russ this year. Remember, Russ has never had an MVP, never had an MVP vote. And if you look at the offensive rosters, sure, Metcalf and Lockett are good. But if I ask you which weapons you would rather have, they're Kansas City. You got Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you got Le'Veon Bell, you got Tyreek Hill, and you got Travis Kelce. Doesn't mean that the Seahawks don't have great options. But when I watch these Seahawks, I really think Russ is carrying this team. I'm not saying Mahomes, if you take Mahomes out of Kansas City, they could still win games. They're not going to be a Super Bowl team. You know, last year when Mahomes did go down, we saw him split. They did go 1-1. Mahomes is the best player in football. I'll never argue that he's not the best player in football, but there is a difference, best and most valuable. And I think this year, with what we've seen so far, I'm more impressed by Russ than I am Mahomes, and I am so impressed by Patrick Mahomes.
So you have a guy who's thrown one interception compared to three.
Mm-hmm.
You have a guy that's putting up better numbers on the ground, and you have a guy that's more efficient with the football in terms of completion percentage. I just think you're being really hard on Mahomes.
How am I being hard on him?
You're being hard because he's the best player, because he's the most valuable. If you want to bring it back to the NBA, there's LeBron James fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that is. He won four MVPs by the time he was 28 years old, and people were sick and tired of giving him MVPs, just like they gave Barkley the MVP in 93 over Jordan, and in 97 they gave the MVP to Malone over Jordan. Right, but Mahomes has not reached that iconic status yet. So I think at this point, he's just going to run off 3-4 MVPs. I think he deserves it.
And it speaks to how great he is. Now, I'm not saying this guy is Michael Jordan. I'm not saying he's LeBron James. But he is already at that level where when this guy's down in a football game, you think he's coming back. When you have 20 seconds left and a half and he's on his 30, you think he's getting in field goal range. This guy, he's already at a level where you just expect him to be great. And when you just expect someone to be great, they sometimes just lose out on the MVP because the standard's so high. Like, for example,
good point.
In LeBron, when he was in the Eastern Conference, if he was not at the number one seed with maybe the best record in the league even, he doesn't win the MVP. Where for Mahomes, he could still be the number one seed this year in the AFC, but it's already expected that he did that. So if you have on the other side a quarterback in Russ who will statistically put up about the same stats this year in the same ballpark. If he's the number one overall seed, and yes, Seattle, there was a case that they weren't going to win the division this year. I thought they were. That's where that conversation's going to be. And I think Russ will win out the tiebreakers, because when you get with two great players and there's tiebreakers, usually the guy that, I'm not saying this is right, and I think it will be this year, usually the guy that's never won the award before, let alone never got a vote in the MVP race before, he'll go and win the MVP this year. I really do believe that, because you mentioned the stats. Just to give you the total stats here, Russell Wilson has thrown for 1,500 yards this year, 19 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions. Where if you look at Patrick Mahomes, and this game is not going to include these stats yet, he's thrown for almost 1,500 yards, 13 touchdowns, and an interception. The QBR, it's 15 now, you're right. So they're pretty much in the same ballpark, both right around 1,500 yards. Russ has more touchdowns, 19. You said Mahomes thrown 2 tonight to Kelsey, so now he's at 15. And it's not like Russell Wilson has 8 picks. He has 3 picks to Mahomes' 1. I just think Russ is going to win the MVP this year. Now, it doesn't mean he's the best player in football. You know, if you look at Patrick Mahomes, he'll say, Russ, you can get the MVP. We'll meet up in the Super Bowl. I'll take the Super Bowl MVP. But I think those two teams, that's the Super Bowl. If my team can't get there, which I don't think my team will get there this year, I don't even know if they'll make the playoffs now. I think they'll be a 7th seed or a 6th seed. I felt that way going into the season that the Pats were a fringe playoff team.
So, Gail, Russ is the second best player in the league, in your opinion?
Is he the second best player in the league? Yeah, I think he's the second best player in the league. Mahomes 1, then I would go Russ 2, Aaron Donald. I know he did not play well last night. He has to factor into the top 5. You know what? Those are the 3 best players in football right now.
I can't believe you're leaving out of LJ.
Lamar Jackson?
Yeah.
Here's why. I like Lamar Jackson. I've been a big Lamar Jackson fan coming out of Louisville. I was someone that I never got why they were trying to make him a wide receiver, and I never thought that was actually close to being reality. I like Lamar Jackson. Here's the problem. If that team gets down in a game, I don't have confidence that Lamar Jackson, if they're down by 10 points, he makes a comeback. I don't. Because then they're asking him to throw the football more. Not that he can't throw the football, but it's not the number one option of his game. It's not, that's the part that people go, oh, he still has to work on. Now, you still have to work on that, and you've won the league MVP. You're a great player. You are. But the top 3 players in the NFL, the best defensive player is Donald, and the best 2 quarterbacks right now are Mahomes and also Russell Wilson. Now, here's what I told you. MVP-wise, that 3rd spot's going to keep on rotating. The first 2 spots I had Wilson and Rodgers. That 3rd spot, there's going to be a lot of weeks where Mahomes is there and people are going to say, oh, how about Mahomes winning the MVP? I think throughout the entire season, though, it's going to be Russ, 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 Russ. You heard the narrative even in the summer. Russ has never won an MVP. Never won an MVP. And I made the prediction this year, he'll win the MVP. He'll go win the Super Bowl. And I'll win the Super Bowl MVP. That was my big prediction before the year that he'll have the trifecta. And now if he gets into a Super Bowl against Mahomes, that's going to be a damn tough game. That's going to be a close game. That's going to be a fun game. And it may come down to which quarterback has the ball last. So the MVP race, and I don't usually love these individual awards, but this year the MVP race in the NFL, it's going to be a big fun talking point. And there's going to be times where that 3rd spot, it's just going to rotate. And we've already seen it rotate. And it even shows you the Mahomes factor, where there's been some weeks that Mahomes hasn't even been in that 3rd conversation talking point. So I'm not saying there's disrespect to Mahomes because everyone loves the guy and they think he's unbelievable, but he's already at a level where he's so great that we expect it. And we're just kind of like, oh yeah, we expect him to do these things, X, Y, and Z, and just dominate. And for sometimes there's guys that are expected every year to be great that actually takes away from their MVP because of where the standard is at. If Wilson wins it this year, I think it's the right choice, and I think it's the correct choice. I think it's a fair choice, too. All right, Bills couldn't do anything. It's 20-10. 4th quarter underway. Chiefs have the ball. I know there's a full quarter left. They could put the game away here. If you go get a touchdown, you make it 27-10. This game, turn out the lights. The party's over if you go get a touchdown here. And they'll have to basically go 95 yards because I think they're at their 5 right now. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back, the Tennessee Titans are 5-0 through the first 6 weeks of the season. Is this a team that you're believing is a Super Bowl contender? They should be in the conversation. How much of a shot do they have, though, to get to the Super Bowl? We'll talk to someone that used to coach for Tennessee, now does their games on the radio as the color analyst, Dave McGinnis, next on the Zach Gelb Show.
He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
What a roller coaster ride yesterday that was between the Tennessee Titans and the Houston Texans. Tennessee wins the game in overtime off a Derrick Henry rushing touchdown. Derrick Henry over 200 yards rushing the football yesterday. Him, Ryan Tannehill, what a combination. And Tennessee is 5-0, one of three undefeated teams left in the National Football League. And next week you'll see two of them play. Tennessee going up against Pittsburgh in Week 7. Let's chat some Tennessee Titans right now. We'll do so with a former assistant coach of the Tennessee Titans and also now a part of their radio network, and that's Dave McGinnis. Coach, always great to hear your voice. How you been?
Zach, great to be on with you. Everything's good.
Right?
5-0, so it's all good.
You're 5-0. It's incredible. Going into the season, I didn't know what to expect out of Tennessee. And going into last year, I was optimistic about them because they surprised a lot of people, got hot at the end of the year, got to an AFC championship game. And you were wondering if there was going to be that fall off or that letdown. Through the first 5 weeks, what has impressed you the most about this team where they haven't even allowed a letdown to occur because they haven't lost the game?
You know what, Zach? The thing that's impressed me most, I mean, this is my 35th year in the National Football League, you know, 31 as a coach. And so I understand what the National Football League is all about. And what is really, really stands out about this team is their legitimate mental and physical toughness and their ability to be resilient, because they have been through quite a bit. The whole league's been through quite a bit with our whole COVID protocol, the way it was in the truncated preseason. But then, you know, when the Titans went through what they've gone through, you know, in the last 16 days, I mean, that was unprecedented. I've been through a lot of things as a coach of the National Football League, but I told Mike Vrabel the other day, I'd never been through anything like this as to where you actually don't get to practice. You have to have Zoom meetings, and then you basically play, you know, two games with basically 4 days of practice. And so to me, the mental and physical resilience and toughness of this football team stands out. And it all stems from the head coach. It really does, because that's his mindset. It's a no excuse, atmosphere that is around here. But he also expects everybody to produce when game time comes about. That has been most impressive to me. And the other thing that I really like is this team is not impressed with itself. They know that one success on 1 week means nothing the next week. It's a very workmanlike group, Zach.
And you know what I think is really fun? I don't even think they're playing their best brand of football yet. Yes, the Buffalo game, they totally dismantled Buffalo. But the first 3 weeks, like, they were not impressive against Denver, Jacksonville, Minnesota. You know how tough it is to win in this league. You take the wins as they come. But that's scary that this team is 5-0 and you even feel like there's room for improvement.
Well, and again, you know, this is the lifelong coach in me in the National Football League. There's always room for improvement every week. every week, you go into a ball game and you go in with a plan, and then if you have to make adjustments, you make adjustments. But at the end of the day, Zach, for 3 hours and 5 minutes, you're doing whatever it takes to win that game, and then you reassess, you go back and you look at it, and then you fix whatever you think you can fix, and then you move ahead. And especially in this time that we're dealing with now, I mean, it's very different, being able to put together a roster. You don't know what the COVID is going to bring to you. And then, of course, everybody deals with injuries, especially, you know, at this time of year moving forward. And so you really live week to week in the National Football League. And you're correct. There are still a lot of things that this football team can do better. And Mike Vrabel has said that on both sides of the ball and even in the kicking game. You know, and so you have to just adjust weekly. But what you want to do is have a consistent message, and his message is very consistent to this team, Zach.
Dave McGinnis here with us. When I look at the Super Bowl contenders, if I gave you four in the AFC, right now it's the Chiefs, it's the Steelers, it's the Ravens, and then the Tennessee Titans. How would you rank those four teams between KC, Pittsburgh, which we'll see Pittsburgh play Tennessee this week, and then the Baltimore Ravens?
Well, I mean, again, as I said, you know, we've played, you know, just recently, we've played Kansas City and Baltimore, so we know how good they are. I mean, this team beat Baltimore last year, you know, in the playoffs, you know, in a one-game series, but that guarantees you nothing. Both of those teams are still very, very good, you know, and then clearly, you know, Kansas City, we you know, you're talking about the world champions there. And then Pittsburgh, to me, this year, again, you know, you're talking about the three other teams other than the Titans. But, you know, Pittsburgh this year looks like a very complete team to me, and they're really playing real solid defense. So, look, to me, it's who's ever playing better on the day that they're going to play each other. This is only five games in. This is a 17-week grind in this season, Zach. So I've coached way too long in this league to make any early predictions.
Dave McGinnis here with us. If you had to make an argument, though, why Tennessee can get to a Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl this year, what would that argument be, Coach?
Well, because they know how to win games. You know, and basically that's what it comes down to in the National Football League is knowing how to win games. They've got a very steady hand on the wheel in Mike Vrabel. It's a very stable organization, stability at the top, starting with the owner, Amy Adams Strunk, you know, through John Robinson, the GM, to the head coach, to the whole organization. I mean, that's important in the National Football League. I've just been doing it too long. I know how important a stable organization is. They have that. They also have a quarterback that's in command of the team, and that's extremely, extremely important. The quarterback is a pivotal position in the National Football League, as you and your listeners well know. We have that here in Ryan Tannehill. And again, Ryan Tannehill is the guy that just goes about his business, and then this football team's got a belief in itself. Now, you know, injuries play a huge part in it. We all know that. But injuries are also part of the National Football League. Those teams that are able to rise up and overcome injuries usually are the ones that come out on top. But you've got to have stability first. And this team has stability.
I mean, you talk about injuries. You guys suffered a big one yesterday, losing Taylor Lewan for the season. How do they go about replacing him?
Well, Tyler Sambreo, you know, has been playing for him. You know, Taylor has had some injuries during this season, none as drastic as the one that he suffered. That's going to be a big blow. You're talking about a Pro Bowl left tackle. Those are hard to come by in the National Football League. But Tyler Sambreo has played there in that position for him, and that's what we'll do. And this league and this team is not any different than any other team in the league, Zach. It's a next man up, you know, and it may sound trite, but it's very, very true. I mean, I've been involved in over 650 NFL games, and I promise you, you know, you don't always end the season with the players you start out with, but it's those that are able to overcome the injuries that are going to be inevitable. If you're playing in the National Football League, your percentage chance of being injured at some time are 100%. And so you have to overcome injuries in this league.
Dave McGinnis here with us for a few more minutes on the Zach Gelb Show. You know, I like this team so much. Not only do they fit the personality of their coach, but I always like to root for guys that overcome adversity and get written off. And that's been the case with Derrick Henry. His first 2 years in the league, people called him a bust. And then for Ryan Tannehill, when he got to Tennessee, he was just not a good quarterback, getting hurt, also being very inconsistent in Miami. What has it been about Henry the last two and a half years and then Tannehill the last year and a half where they've just gotten Tennessee the best out of those two football players?
Well, you know, when Derrick Henry came in here from Alabama, I mean, he wasn't the starting running back. I mean, he was playing, you know, he was the second team running back when he first came in here, so he really wasn't the lead horse. You know, and he worked himself into that situation and then has done nothing but just take off with it literally and figuratively. I mean, he's, you know, to me, I mean, he's arguably one of the best, if not the best running back in the league right now as far as production. I mean, you've got a guy this size that can run as fast as he can and also works like he does. I mean, the proof is just watch the ball games. Ryan Tannehill, you know, was an 88-game starter when he agreed to come here as a backup, came in here and filled that role. And then when he got his opportunity in the Denver game last year in the third quarter, Mike Vrabel made the switch. He's taken off with it. And again, quarterbacks in this league, Zach, in my opinion, a lot of times circumstances and environments mean a lot of difference as to their development. And sometimes you just have to be in the right place. This is the right place for him with the right head coach and the right offensive coordinator in Arthur Smith. It's working out pretty good right now.
How do you classify him as a quarterback? Because he's completed nearly 70% of his passes. He's been winning a lot of games the last 2 years, throw four touchdown passes. against Houston. I still feel like he doesn't get the proper credit because of how good the run game is with Derrick Henry. So when I ask you to classify Ryan Tannehill as a quarterback, you say what, Dave McGinnis?
Well, he's highly efficient. He's smart. He's intelligent, and he's highly competitive. And here's the biggest thing that's important, Zach. The football team believes in him. The football team and the organization believes in him. That's extremely, extremely important. I mean, he's a talented guy, but he's also extremely, extremely smart. And the other thing about him is he's a selfless guy. He really is. He's all about the team and his teammates, but he is so steady and so calm. There was a big pressure situation yesterday in that ball game, and he remained level, calm throughout, and just produces down the stretch. People have a lot of confidence in him on this football team. That's huge for a quarterback.
They're 5-0 right now and getting a lot of national praise when we talk about Tennessee. What's their biggest weakness right now?
Well, right now they've got to be better on defense on third down. I mean, Mike Vrabel has said that. I mean, you know, defensively on third down, you know, they have to be better. They're dealing with some injuries in the secondary, which they're going to have to overcome. And then the other thing, you know, that has to happen, you know, within that is they've got to continue to play complementary football. This team is built on complementary football, and every phase needs to hold itself up during the ball games. You know, we started off very shaky in our place kicking game. Then it became a real strength. It was a little shaky again. So every group has got to be able to hold up their end of the bargain because this team is built, Zach, on playing complementary football.
What do you think Pittsburgh, the early preview of Pittsburgh and Tennessee, comes down to?
Well, I mean, Pittsburgh to me is probably one of the most complete teams in the league right now because they're healthy. They're playing very well. They've got a future Hall of Fame quarterback back. I've got great respect for Mike Tomlin, for the Pittsburgh Steelers organization that has been that model of stability throughout the years. And so, and plus, I mean, these are two very, you know, the Tennessee Titans, I coached here for 8 years. They've always prided themselves on being a very physical organization in the way that they play football. That's what Pittsburgh is too. And so this is going to be a real typical AFC, very physical game on Sunday.
Last one for Dave McGinnis. I got to get to Romeo Crennel's decision, the interim head coach of the Houston Texans. They scored a touchdown. They're up by 7. If they kick the extra point, they go up by 8. He elected to go for the 2 points and put them up by 9. They did not get it. Tennessee comes down the field. They get the game into overtime, and they end up winning it. Did you like that decision in the moment by Romeo Crennel, other than the fact that it kept Tennessee in the game? Did you think that was the right football decision?
Well, you're talking about do I like it as the color analyst for the Tennessee Titans?
I know you like it because it was a dumb decision, right?
No, I loved it as a color analyst for the Tennessee Titans. just looking at it as a neutral observer, you know, basically what you do, and you've got to look at it in two ways. First of all, you know, generally what you would do, you take what's given, and then you make the Tennessee Titans drive the field and have to score a touchdown and have to make a 2-point conversion. Okay, that's what you do. Romeo Crennel has taken over a franchise that clearly was having issues, won their first ball game. He's an interim head coach. What he's trying to do is inject some life into his team. He had made a great comeback on the road against a division opponent that was 4-0 at the time. And his thinking was, if I score 2 points here, I close them out. It's a 9-point lead. They've got no chance to win it. So I understand both sides of it. But just as a neutral observer, if you put it on a neutral plane, leave everything else out of it, you kick it and then make your opponent drive the field with not a lot of time left to be able to score the touchdown and score the 2-point play.
Dave McGinnis, always appreciate it. You be safe. You be well.
Zach, thank you very much.
There's Dave McGinnis. Good stuff on the Tennessee Titans perspective. We'll break here. We'll continue to update you on Chiefs and Buffalo. And when we come on back, we do have a news brief. But first up, to update us with all the latest going on in the world of sports, we get to Bob Uecker.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
As always, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line on the Zach Gelb Show is 855-212-4227. It's sponsored by Geico. Want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It will keep you up at night. switch to Geico and save. I think Russell Wilson wins the MVP this year. Mahomes just showed you, though, why he's the best player in football. Third and 12, had nothing. Bought about 4 or 5 extra seconds with his legs. And Byron Pringle goes from the left side of the field because of those 3, 4, 5 extra seconds to the right side of the field, gets a big chunk play. This game was 20-10. Chiefs got a field goal to make it 23-10. Buffalo, Josh Allen's done really nothing this game. Led his team down the field to make it 23-17. And so far, 2 big plays on this drive. Mahomes 3rd and 12 conversion, then Mahomes 3rd and 6 conversion. I know you're trying to run the clock here, and I know the Chiefs have a good rushing attack. Just keep on letting Mahomes throw the football. And even if he doesn't have anything, have him run the football. I know you're trying to waste the clock, but it's almost criminal in this spot when you're trying to go put the game away as they're now like almost at the red zone, or maybe they're inside the red zone. I got to see where the spot is. It's almost criminal to take the ball out of Mahomes' hands. And yeah, they are in the red zone. They are, or no, just outside of it because they just lost a few on the last play. They're at the 22. It's going to be a 2nd and 14 here with 2:28 to go. Chiefs up 23-17. Little screen pass here by Mahomes. Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And now you're going to set up probably a 3rd and 5, 3rd and 6 as we're getting ready to hit the 2-minute warning. All right, let's get to a news brief. The Chicago Bears, they win again. They defeated the Panthers yesterday. They are now 5-1, the ultimate surprise of the NFL season. Let's hear Chicago's quarterback, Nick Foles, why he's still not satisfied even after a 5-1 start.
We're not going to get complacent and say, hey, man, we're 5-1. This is it. No, like we're sitting there in the locker room after the game talking through it. Hey, we got to be better here. This is what we got to do here. Communication here, route running here. Hey, we got to be able to run the ball here. We know that. I know you're all going to ask those questions. We know that. And that's what's exciting because we don't have to have y'all say, hey, you doing this? Hey, we know. But we also know that we're going to improve because we believe in one another. And that's what great teams do. Great teams find a way to win a game. Bad teams win with prettiness. Great teams win no matter how it takes. So I'm proud of our guys. I think we're continuing to improve. Are we where we want to be? No, we're not where we want to be. But I'm excited about our offense. I'm excited about the guys that are there. I like the communication that's happening on the sideline. I love the passion of the players. Most important, they care, and we're bonding. We're getting to know each other. That's football. Like, you don't just go out there and play football. You got to care about the man next to you to make those plays. So I like where we're at. I know we're going to improve. I believe in our staff. I believe in our players.
Now, the Bears aren't in the same class as the next few teams that I'm going to mention, but Nick Foles brings up a good point. Yeah, it's always awesome when you're blowing teams out 45-17. But when you get 4, 5, 6 weeks of that, sometimes you get complacent. There's a lot of teams in the league right now. I look at, for example, the Bucks, the Steelers, Tennessee. And Steelers and Tennessee are undefeated so far, both 5-0. The three of those teams haven't even played their best brands of football yet. And look how good they are already out of the gate. And for the Bears, they're not in the same class as those other teams. But the Bears right now, they're 5-1, and still no one believes in them. Like, it even took me today to say, oh, the Bears are probably going to go to the playoffs. And I said even probably. Chicago, it's still tough to fully buy in because of what we thought about them before the season. But when you're 5-1, you got to win what? 4 to 5 more games, and you'll get in that 7th seed? I don't think they're going to win the division. I still think the Packers win the division. But the Bears, they're definitely in the playoff conversation. All right, let's go from Nick Foles to Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers had a rough week last week in a loss to the Browns. Had 2 interceptions, also an intentional grounding for a safety. They were down 21-0 to the Cincinnati Bengals, and then the Colts did rally back. Here is Phillip Rivers being very honest about his new relationship with the media in Indianapolis.
I don't know all you guys yet. I haven't got to shake all your guys' hand and talk to you guys yet either. So I made the decision last week. I want to read what they wrote. And because I don't know, you know, you grow over 16 years, you know, with the guys, you know, and you're like, shoot, that comes with it. You stink it up. They better write, you know, Rivers better get with it. You expect it. I don't know you guys. So it was interesting for me this week. I went back and forth and I said, dadgummit, I'm going to find them. And not to be motivation, not to anything. Like, I just kind of want to see, you know, what I don't know you guys personality stuff wise. So I felt like all you guys are pretty dang honest. And I'm not going to look to read it this week because I feel like I'm the same guy I was last Sunday night. Just played a heck of a lot better than I did last Sunday, but I'm the same guy. So It's 1 week at a time. It's that Nuke Cheppy that you guys know, that you guys referenced this week. And, you know, shoot, we'll regroup this week and see if we can go get one in Detroit.
Yeah, let's not throw a parade for Philip Rivers after taking down the Bengals in a game where they were down 20-plus points. He has not been a great quarterback this season. The next 5 weeks, though, you got a Lions team that's scrappy. They got their second win, taking down Jaguars yesterday. You should beat them. Then after that, that's where it really cooks up and turns up for the Colts schedule. Following this Lions game, you have four games that really stand out. You got the Ravens, Tennessee, the Packers, and then Tennessee again. Let's see where the 4-2 Colts are after those games. You gotta find a way to split with Tennessee. Now, you going to beat Green Bay or the Ravens? Probably not, but we've seen crazier things happen in the National Football League. Yesterday, Romeo Crennel, we talked about this with Dave McGinnis, I thought made a bad call. 7-point game, they just scored a touchdown, take the extra point, make Tennessee go down the field, get the touchdown and the 2-point conversion. He goes for the 2-point conversion up 7 to try to get it 9 and end the game right there. Here's Romeo Crennel after the game explaining that decision.
The thing is that sometimes if you go forward and you don't make it, then they begin to wonder why you went for it in the first place, you know? So that's the way, that's the nature of this game that we're in. You know, when you win, when you're successful, everybody feels good about it. When you lose and you're not successful on a play, then everybody feels usually bad about it.
I get what he's saying, where if it works, he's a genius, and then if it doesn't work, he's an idiot. I know people are going to tell me analytics this, analytics that. A lot of people tell me about analytics. There's a gut feeling sometimes. And in the moment yesterday, my gut told me that's a bad call. That's a call I don't like. This is not me second guessing it. That's what I thought in the moment. All right, finally, Bill Belichick and the Patriots are 2-3. Yes, two of those losses did occur up against the Chiefs and the Seattle Seahawks, two of the better teams, if not the two best teams in the league. But I didn't see this one coming yesterday. Brandon McManus. 6 field goals, gets the victory 18-12. Here's Belichick on the challenges dealing with COVID and the limit roster spots that they have of guys that are healthy and also the lack of practice time.
It was a big challenge, you know, playing without guys, getting guys hurt, moving around, and some guys that, you know, haven't played together much, haven't practiced together much. So we need to get on the field. We need to practice. We need to develop some continuity as a team.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, Coach. You're playing the Broncos yesterday. No disrespect to Denver. They're a team that's also been decimated with injuries this year. When they don't score a touchdown in the game, you've got to find a way to get the job done. And they almost did at the end, and Cam was off the mark on a pass to N'Keal Harry. Pats 2-3, and they have San Francisco on Sunday. You imagine the Pats are 2-4? You got to think the Pats go get a victory next week and even up that schedule and that record to 3-3. All right, here we're at in the Kansas City-Buffalo game. 26-17, Kansas City got a field goal. So, 1:28 left. Bills getting the ball back. We'll see if they could go march down the field, and then they're going to have to recover an onside kick. So, 26-17, Chiefs up on the Bills with 1:28 to go. Big spread here, 5.5. We'll see if the Chiefs can cover.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.